Okay, so today we're diving into a case.
Oh, this is a good one.
Yeah, it is. It's a fascinating one. It's called Cinco V Metro North, and it all starts with a pretty dramatic event. Imagine a brand new safety system, the
Yeah.
kind that's supposed to catch workers if they fall.
Critical stuff.
Yeah, absolutely critical. And this system, it was installed in Grand Central Terminal, no less,
Wow.
and it fails
Right in Grand Central.
during a training exercise.
Oh, no.
I know, right? So that's where this case, Cinco V Metro North, comes in. It's a case about what happens when contracts for really important goods go wrong and how the law, the UCC specifically, tries to deal with those scenarios.
And it's particularly interesting in this case because you're talking about worker safety.
Exactly. This wasn't some, minor inconvenience. It was about protecting people's lives
Huge
right
stakes.
from the start.
Yeah.
So in this deep dive, we're going to take a close look at what Cinco, the company that installed the system, tried to do to fix the problem.
Their attempts to cure, as we say in the legal world.
Right. And we'll examine why those attempts ultimately didn't satisfy Metro North or the court. And we'll be using the actual court documents and some great legal analysis to guide our discussion.
This is like a front row seat to a real world contract dispute.
And it has really big implications for anyone who works with contracts, especially in fields where safety and reliability are, well, non-negotiable.
For sure. I mean, think about it. If you're going into a field where you're dealing with products or services that have life or death
You
consequences,
need to understand these principles.
absolutely. You need to know what your rights are, what your obligations are, and how the law protects both buyers and sellers in these kinds of situations.
So let's set the stage a bit. We've got Metro North, the commuter railroad,
One of the busiest in the country.
for sure. And they decided they needed a new fall protection system at Grand Central Terminal.
Makes sense. You've got crews working high up all the time.
So they contract with Cinco for this system. It's a substantial contract too, like almost $200,000.
$197,325 to be exact.
Right. And they set a deadline of June 26, 1999 for the whole thing to be done.
And it wasn't just about putting any system in place.
Right. This is where the details of the contract really matter.
Absolutely. Article 14.01 of the contract specifically stated that every part of this fall protection system had to meet all the federal, state, and local safety guidelines.
Those are those non-negotiables we were talking about.
Exactly. Worker safety can't be compromised.
So everything seems to be moving along, but then just a few days after that deadline of June 26th,
During the training session.
June 29th to be exact, the unthinkable happens. The SafeLink sleeves, which are like a key part of the whole
A
system,
critical component
they just crumble.
under like minor stress
I
too.
know, right? Not even a full load or anything.
It's almost unbelievable.
I mean, imagine you're there at the training, you're thinking, okay, this is the system that's going to keep me safe if I'm ever up there working.
And it just falls apart.
Right in front of you. The implications are huge, obviously. Cinco, though, to their credit, they admit that there was a quality control issue.
They acknowledge a mistake was made.
Apparently an employee had messed up the installation of those SafeLink sleeves.
Improper manual staking.
Right. But admitting the problem is only the first step.
The big question becomes, can they fix it? And can they fix it in a way that satisfies the law?
So Cinco tries to do just that. Within 2 days, they deliver a bunch of replacement SafeLinks. Some of them even have extra welding on them.
To try to make them stronger.
And they even send a videotape showing a stress test on one of these new welded SafeLinks.
Like, look, it works now.
Right. But here's the thing. Metro North wasn't convinced. They rejected this attempt to cure.
And this is where things get really legally interesting.
Why didn't Metro North have to accept the new parts in the video?
Well, the UCC comes into play here, specifically Section 2-5082. It's all about the seller's right to cure after the buyer has already rejected the goods.
Okay, so break that down for us. What does a seller actually have to do to make things right under the UCC?
They have to make what's called a conforming tender. That means they have to provide goods that actually meet all the requirements of the contract. And they have to do it in a way that gives the buyer reasonable assurance that everything is now fixed.
So just delivering some new parts and a video of a single test.
That wasn't enough for the court. They said that this limited demonstration didn't prove that the whole system was now reliable.
It's like you said earlier, right? One good apple doesn't mean the whole barrel is good.
Exactly. Metro North needed proof that the entire fall protection system was safe and that the quality control issues had been addressed system-wide.
And the court agreed with them.
They did. They basically said the Cinco hadn't met that legal standard of a conforming tender.
So Cinco keeps trying, right? They make a few more proposals.
They do. They offered to have an independent engineer review the system. They even offered to do on-site demonstrations.
To prove that it worked.
And they even tossed out the idea of using SafeLink sleeves from a different manufacturer.
Like a whole different supplier.
Wait, yeah. But the court wasn't buying it. They called these proposals bare offers.
Meaning they were just words.
Exactly. There was no real proof that any of these things would actually result in a safe and reliable system.
So essentially the court said, look, Metro North, you don't have to play this guessing game. You contracted for a safe system, and you have a right to demand that Cinco actually delivers on that promise.
Exactly. And especially when you're talking about worker safety, the court is going to be extra careful.
They're not going to let a company off the hook just for making promises.
Nope. They want to see action. They want to see proof.
So what does Metro North do?
Well, they eventually get tired of waiting for Cinco to make things right. So on August 11th, 1999, they send Cinco a notice of default.
Officially saying you're not meeting the terms of the contract.
Right. And then about a month later, on September 16th, they terminate the contract altogether.
And they go with a different company.
Yep. They hire Surety, Inc. to install a new fall protection system.
And of course, this costs them more money.
It did. The new contract with Surety was for $347,896.99. Even after a credit, the difference was over $126,000 more than the original contract with Cinco.
So that brings up another legal concept, right?
It does. It's called cost of cover. And it's covered under UCC Section 2712.
And what's that all about?
Basically, it says that if the seller breaches a contract and the buyer has to go out and buy substitute goods to cover their needs, the buyer can recover the difference in cost from the original seller.
So the idea is to put the buyer back in the position they would have been in if the original contract had been fulfilled.
Exactly. It's about making the buyer whole again.
And in this case, the court said that Metro North was entitled to recover that extra $126,000 from Cinco.
Yes, they did. They said that Metro North acted reasonably and in good faith by hiring a new company to install the system.
So they weren't being unreasonable by demanding a working safety system.
No, not at all. They had a right to expect Cinco to deliver what they promised.
Mm-hmm.
And when Cinco couldn't do that, Metro North was allowed to find someone who could.
So what are some key takeaways from this case, especially for law students who are just starting to learn about contract law?
I'd say there are a few big ones. First, the right to cure isn't unlimited. The seller has to prove that they've actually fixed the problem and that the goods now meet all the requirements of the contract.
It's not enough to just say, oh, we fixed it.
Right. You need evidence. You need to show that the goods are now conforming. Second, a delivery isn't the same thing as a cure. Just because the seller delivers something doesn't mean the problem is automatically solved.
The goods still have to meet the contract.
Exactly. And finally, buyers aren't obligated to just wait around forever while the seller tries to figure things out.
Especially when safety is a concern.
Especially then. The buyer has a right to a reliable product, and they don't have to accept anything less.
And this case really makes you think about all the other situations where this could apply.
It does. I mean, think about it. What if you're talking about a contract for medical equipment, or for a bridge, or for an airplane?
The stakes can be huge.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the principles we've discussed today, the idea of a conforming tender, the buyer's right to a reliable product.
Those become even more important.
It's about making sure that contracts are enforced fairly and that people are protected when things go wrong.
So that's Cinco v. Metro North, a case about a failed safety system, a seller's attempts to cure, and the UCC's rules for making things right.
It's a great illustration of how contract law works in the real world.
And it's a reminder that even in complex legal cases, it often comes down to some very basic principles. Fairness, reliability, and safety.
Absolutely.
So that wraps up our deep dive for today. It's given us a lot to think about in terms of how the UCC tackles tricky situations with contracts, especially when safety is on the line.
For sure.
It's a case that really underlines how important those concepts of conforming tender and the burden of proof are in the real world. And it makes you wonder, right, about all the other areas where these principles might apply, where those same standards of reliability and accountability are just as crucial. It's a good jumping off point for thinking about how we ensure those standards are met, not just in contracts, but maybe even in broader consumer protection laws. It definitely leaves you with some food for thought, right?
Yeah, it really does. It makes you think about the bigger picture.
For sure. So until next time, keep those legal wheels turning.
And stay safe out there.